We're starting a new series, a major new series in the next for the next 8 weeks called Life Craft from God. We believe that the Bible equips us to live. It equips us to live in some very fundamental and basic skills and giftings that we need and to know how to live in relationships and money and all sorts of things. And so we're going to spend the next 8 weeks looking at Proverbs. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, we will be each day. The person who's preaching on a Sunday will give us six tweets or Facebook postings to go in the following 6 days so that you can join in with what they're thinking about and what they're preaching about, and you can meditate on that during the day and use it to equip you. So I'll encourage, if you do that sort of thing, follow us on either of those two genres and maybe Instagram as well. I don't know. Our first excellent preacher is Sally, who's going to pray for us and introduce the series a little bit and pray for and teach us about wisdom. And you'll enjoy this. Sally's a wonderful teacher and has thought a lot about this, and it's going to be a really, it's like having a really good meal. You know, when you have a really good meal and you feel, I'm well fed, you will leave feeling well fed. So eat and enjoy. Let me pray for Sally. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the deposit you've put in her of wisdom and of understanding of these scriptures, and I pray that you will use her as a communication to us of your love for us and your wisdom for how to live. Would you bless her as she speaks? Amen.
Good morning. So Charles Kennedy led the Liberal Democrats to their biggest ever number of seats in Westminster. He was able to raise laughter on politics programs, such as Have I Got News For You? But he died this week suddenly from a hemorrhage directly linked to his alcohol addiction. Listening to the news this week, it's been full of tributes to him, but not so much to his achievements, but more to his character. People talked about his loyalty, his sense of generosity, his sense of humour. His ability to stick to his principles without wavering. And as I was listening to those tributes, I was struck by also reflecting on other people listening that we are often remembered more for our character than for what we actually do. Charles Kennedy was, of course, a blend of great character with one notable weakness in his character. So I want to have a think about what God has to say about character and how he gives us character and helps us shape that. So let me read from the New Testament book of James. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So this passage describes what wisdom is in terms of character. So wisdom, it says, is not just about making wise choices, but it's also about wise attitudes, wise ways of relating to people, and wise habits that shape your character. So this is the first in a series of talks taken from the book of Proverbs. And if you look through Proverbs, there are many character qualities that are encouraged: humility, generosity, self-control, diligence, justice. Gaining these are not just about making wise choices that affect our lives in terms of what job we do or external things. If we gain wisdom, it shapes our character. It shapes who we are. So I work as a GP, and I get why wisdom and character are important. Think how many of the people I meet in terms of my job would be in a better place if they had lots of wisdom and the ability to apply it. Some of them maybe have unwise behaviours, or have made unwise decisions that have affected their health or where they are. So I can really see about wisdom, but then it's not just my patients that need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need to know how to use my time. I need to know how to use the limited NHS resources, and which patients really have something serious going on. But I need wise words to say to people that are really hurting. So you can see that being a wise GP is not just about knowledge, but it's also about character, so that inwardly I can react under pressure, and my character is as important as the decisions I make. So you may need wisdom in your job, how you bring up your children, how you relate to people, or about a big decision you've got ahead of you. Have you ever found yourself typing in the answer to a question in Google? I have. Like a big question, you know, what do I do with my life, into Google, just as a sort of like, what do I do? So perhaps we need to think about where we seek the answers to our wisdom and get them better places from Google. So as Christians, we look to the Bible, which collects together a library of mini books. And in the Hebrew scriptures, which is the Old Testament, there's a particular section of the library which is called wisdom literature. And Proverbs is one of those books. It was written thousands of years ago, yet it has practical applications for how we live our lives today. We still seek wisdom today, and truth is still found in Proverbs to help us live it. So I want to look just at the very beginning of Proverbs, reading from verse chapter 1, and I want to sort of think, what are Proverbs? What is wisdom? And how do we get wisdom? So let me read from chapter 1, just for the first few verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. So let's read what's written here. This is a book that's written to help us get wisdom. It's written for the young, to help them start out in wisdom, it says in verse 4. And it says in verse 5, for the wise, to help them get more wisdom. So that sounds really useful for the young and for the wise. But hang on, look at verse 6. It says, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Why have they written a book of poetry to help us get wise? I'm not that into English literature, so why? Well, Proverbs contains lots of poetic verses, and they were written mostly through families. Initially, they were just said from person to person, so it wasn't written down initially. It was just passed on through a sort of oral tradition. And they were meant to be memorable. They were sort of two-line sayings. We have English proverbs now, things like, look before you leap, a problem shared is a problem halved. And they were that sort of thing. But we also see modern proverbs on posters, or perhaps said by your parents, or David and Alison. So I thought, was trying to think of some examples, things like catch it, bin it, kill it was the thing that was on the around the flu epidemic. That was one that was all over our surgery. David Flowers, perhaps spend less than you earn. Alison, one of Alison's is... obey God and trust him for the outcome. So perhaps you can spot other ones, maybe from your family or from people around church. But then modern day proverbs are just all over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, usually written with a nice picture behind, cluttering up our news feed. So perhaps think of proverbs as a sort of modern news feed of wise old sayings. Sorry, it's a very old newsfeed of wise sayings, a sort of modern Instagram, but this one breathed by God. So have a look at Proverbs over June and July and have a read for yourself. You can either start from the beginning and read, or you can go onto the church website each day and scroll right down to the bottom. That's where the Twitter feed is if you don't do Twitter any other way. So the main theme of Proverbs is wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, I think wisdom is not about being intelligent or having a fancy degree. It's about making wise choices and building our character. So think about a complex skill like flying an aeroplane. Taught over many years, at the beginning there'll be time spent poring over instruction manuals, learning flow charts, learning physics, time spent watching other pilots fly. Eventually, the lessons come together. A pilot's trained. Well, on January the 15th, 2009, an American airline pilot called Chelsea Sullenberger took off from an airport in New York. You may remember this one. A large flock of geese flew into his aeroplane and both engines completely taken out, no power whatsoever. What does he do? He does not get out his instruction manuals and think, what do I do with no engines? He has a whole load of experience. He makes a judgment. He has an instinct. And he decided not to go back to any of the airports, but to land in the Hudson River. He landed there, and everybody, 145 people, all completely safe, just walked off. What I thought was interesting was his quote. One way of looking at this might be that for 42 years, that is a long time to be a pilot, 42 years I've been making small, regular deposits in this bank of experience, education, and training. And on January the 15th, the balance was sufficient that I could make a very large withdrawal. He made wise decisions through habits built through years of practice. To become wise takes effort. Just like becoming an airline pilot, we need to learn from others. But as we become wise, we change within and become different. Our character's shaped. Then we face something as big as the situation that the airline pilot faced, and we respond instinctively. Inwardly, we've changed, and when we're challenged, we respond in a godly way. It's about formation of character. So we've started to think about Proverbs, and that might have something to live our life and something about choices and making character. Where do we start? Have we got any practical pointers? How do we get wise? So I've got three sort of pointers to get us started. It says in Proverbs 2, verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come understanding and knowledge." So we learn in this verse that wisdom comes from God. It is a gift from God. God takes the initiative. God gives wisdom. Without God, we cannot have any wisdom. So we need to turn towards God to receive that gift. But also, God needs us to respond and asks us to pursue wisdom. So it's a double-sided coin, or it's a paradox. God gives us wisdom, but he calls us to seek after it. Have a read of Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, what's that about? What is fear of the Lord? It's been a verse that has troubled me slightly over the years. On first glance, it sounds quite confusing. Does it mean that we are to be scared of God? Is he out to get us? What is fear of the Lord? Well, I think this fear, from reading about it, it's not us cowering in a corner as if God is an angry tyrant. It's a reaction when we realize that God is God and we are not. It's an utter humble respect for God's power, his creativity, his justice, his love. So some translations don't use fear of the Lord, they would use awe. And you might find it more helpful to think that way. Fear or respect or perhaps even worship. So I think fear of the Lord is about turning our life towards God. It's about the orientation of our life. It's about putting God first. So have a think, are we turning towards God or turning away from him? Are our decisions, our relationships, and what we do with our time all lived in that perspective? So as we worship, as we worship today, sometimes we realize that we haven't been entirely turned towards God, and we turn towards him and our perspective changes. For me, when I'm outside somewhere like the Lake District, I'd see the majesty of the amazing landscape and I would have a fresh understanding of God's power and my place within it, and I would turn towards God at that point. But also, I think I realize that God is all-powerful when I'm faced with difficult situations. My father has dementia, and my mother is caring for him across the other side of the country. And I think that helps me realize that it is only God who is powerful and in control as I see that situation. So do you seek wisdom for the things that you're facing? Maybe the challenge for you is to turn towards God to put those things in his perspective. So firstly, we turn towards God. Secondly, we would walk with the wise. There's a lot in Proverbs about learning from wise people. If you read the beginning of almost all the chapters at the beginning, they all start, my son, my son, my son. It's written as if from a father to a son. And Proverbs 13, verse 20, this is the Message translation, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. When I was 18, living in a church, living and going to a church in Bristol, a lady who was a house group leader approached me, and she asked me if I wanted to become her prayer partner. I was surprised that she wanted to spend her valuable time with me. But I said yes, and for a year we met up every couple of months, or maybe more than that, every few weeks, and we prayed for things that were happening in my life. As I did my A-levels, as I left for university, I would see her in the holidays. She treated me like an adult. She came alongside me. But she also shared what was going on in her life, and I could see how she was responding to things in a godly way. I talked about some of the challenges I was facing. So walking with a wise person was good for me. Now I see that happening in this church as my children, who are 15 and 17, are having others mentor them, acting as a sounding board, praying for them, passing on wisdom. You can see that happening in young people's groups. So walking with the wise is good for the young people. We learn wisdom for those who have been around longer than us, been through what we're going with, or wrestled with stuff we're facing. We gain wisdom from being around those who are walking in the same direction towards God in our house groups. Our house groups are an active house group, so we literally walk and talk and support each other and gain wisdom from each other. Wisdom on parenting, wisdom on following Jesus, spending time and money. But walking with the wise, I think, is not just about physically being with people. I learn loads from reading books and from listening to talks. So when I go to the gym, I'll have a podcast on me, on the headphones, and I'll be, say, on the treadmill, literally walking with the wise. The wise person is speaking into my headphones, and I'm doing the walking or running or whatever it is. So we can learn from lots more places. So how are you going to hang out with people to get more wisdom? Are you in a house group? Are you reading books? Or are you getting something from other people's wisdom, walking with the wise? So we turn towards God, we walk with the wise, and thirdly, let God's words sink in deep and change you. So this is from Proverbs 2. We're motoring through Proverbs a little bit faster than Romans. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you search for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So there is a call here. Looking for wisdom is like looking for treasure. Speaks about something that is hard work. You've got to go and search out for it. But there are a couple of phrases that I think jumped out for me. There's one is, store up my commands within you, just at the beginning. If you store up my commands within you. And the second is, apply your heart to understanding. Well, store up your commands within you. I think his commands are his word. The Bible, his words spoken today, his wisdom. And apply your heart to understanding. I think that's about effort to let what God is saying sink in. So I think it's talking about not just knowing something wise in our head, but recognizing that it takes effort for it to be deposited deep in our heart. So I have various notebooks I write in. I've got one here today. And I write what I think God might be saying to me. It might be responding to a talk, or it might be a song that I've heard that is really resonated with me. It might be something I've read. But I write it down. So one of the things I've written in my notebook recently are the lyrics from a Rend Collective song. Don't know how many of you listen to it, Rend Collective. It's called Boldly I Approach. And I just listen to this song over and over again. I turn it on the way to work. I turn it on the way home from work. And there's something in there about what God's done to allow me to approach his throne that is doing something significant in my heart. And as I'm listening to it to and from work, I'm sort of applying it to how my life is. So I'm listening to the words and I'm letting them sink in and change me. There are lots of different ways for you to reflect on what God's saying, but I think my challenge is if you think God's saying something to you, don't let it slip through your fingers and lose it. Sometimes God then has to say it over and over again, and we're not actually changing, and we're not actually having our character shaped. So take hold of it, write it down, think about it, and let it change you. So there seems to be a theme in Proverbs about how it takes some effort to allow God's wisdom to change our hearts, and then our character will be shaped, and we will get wisdom. So let me recap. Think about the desire for wisdom. I said at the beginning that I work as a GP, and I can see how wisdom would make differences to lots of life situations. How I would love to have more wisdom to know how to be a good GP. How to make wise choices, how to speak wise words, how to build wise character. What characteristics would people remember you for if your life was tragically cut short like Charles Kennedy? Is God challenging you to build a legacy of character? God gives wisdom, and he's seeking us out. He wants to give you and me the gift of wisdom. So would you like to receive that gift of wisdom today? God calls us to turn towards him and to put him first in our lives. Do you seek wisdom for specific things that you're facing? Maybe God is challenging you to set your direction just a little bit towards more towards him, to put those things in perspective. Perhaps you've been walking in a slightly different direction. It's time to make a change. God calls us to walk with each other, learning from the wise and encouraging each other. Are you going to hang out with people more to get more wisdom? Are you in a house group? Are you learning from people? Perhaps God's calling you to commit more towards getting involved in people's lives and sharing his wisdom. And God's calling us to seek after wisdom and let his words change our hearts. Has he been reminding you to take some time to listen to him, to write down what he's saying, spend more time listening to his word? So let me pray for us, and then I'd like you to perhaps to take some time to see how you think God is wanting you to respond. Lord, we thank you for your gift of wisdom. We want to seek after that wisdom. We want to receive that wisdom. Lord, we want to turn towards you and put you first in our lives. Lord, we want your help to walk with the wise. And Lord, we want to let your words change our hearts and shape our character. So perhaps I would invite you to stand, as that's an easier way to respond, and just stand, and I'm not going to say anything much more, and just listen to him and ask him how he would like you to respond. Let's just spend some time listening to him. Lord, give us your wisdom. You may find God speaking to you about one of these areas, and you just want to stay with him and hear his voice, and that's absolutely fine. You may want to turn and see if there's somebody that you want to pray for that's next to you. But also you may want to come up to the front and we can find somebody to pray for you up here if there's a specific thing that you think God's speaking to you about. Or if you've come and you want healing or wisdom for a specific area in your life or healing for something, we'd love to pray for that too. If you've got children, there are some very wise people who've been teaching your children who would quite like to hand them back to you. So you could thank them for sharing their wisdom with your children and collect them. Thank you for coming today. And do come up if you would like us to pray for you.